Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got a good show lined up for you. I know that we've dealt with taxes, and it's always good to talk about them, how to deal with them, how to plan with them, how to plan for them. And so I've got a special guest, another David. So we'll try not to get too confused between the two of us. There he is, David Scranton. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, David.
All right, it's good to have you. Now, let me give you a little background, David. I, of course, admire a man with credentials, and David's got them. CLU, CHFC, that's Chartered Financial Consultant, Certified Financial Planner, Chartered Financial Analyst, and a Master's Degree in Financial Services. I like that. I'll swap out my CPA for your CFA, and we match right up.
Well, wait a minute. Why are you asking me about taxes? You're the CPA.
Well, you're loaded for bear, as we say. And David is based in Westbrook, Connecticut. He's founder and president of Advisory Academy, which educates experienced advisors on how to intelligently grow client assets without the risk of the stock market. He's a financial advisor with numerous professional credentials, which I just mentioned. And the book, he's written a book, which I think is very down to earth and very straightforward, Financial Insanity, How to Keep Wall Street's Cancer from Spreading to Your Portfolio. So, David, with a title like that, you have to explain. I mean, tell us a little bit about the book, and then we'll get into our conversation about taxes.
Sure. Well, financial advisors overall are taught, and I'm sure you've heard this also, they're taught that markets are random. Markets are random. You cannot predict them. In fact, first day in stockbroker school, you're taught things such as buy and hold. Over the long run, the stock market outperforms everything else. You're even taught certain sales things to say, such as, gee, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market. And the reason I wrote the book is because my studies of stock market history back in the 1990s enabled me to easily foresee late in 1998 that we were about to slip into a long-term bear market cycle. And those same studies of stock market history drew me to conclude that it would be about 20 years or so before things really got better. They also got me to predict in October of 2007 that there was going to be a second major stock market drop around the corner after we recovered from the tech bubble. The reason I wrote the book was because this is information that I don't think is rocket science. I think it's easily findable and accessible if you know where to look.
Yeah.
But it's information that financial advisors are I think it's kept from financial advisors by a lot of the big Wall Street firms. And as a result, advisors never talk about it. And the average do-it-yourselfer who's pretty astute, who reads, who watches financial television shows, oftentimes doesn't hear about how predictable and repeatable these cycles are either. And that's why I wrote the book, to get that information out there so people can realize that there is an ability to predict some of these things over the long, long term, and that, quite frankly, it's not rocket science.
Very good. No, that's very well put. And the other reason, you know, maybe some of it is kept from the brokers, David, and the other reason is, I mean, somebody that their job is to sell risk investments, risk-based investments. I call them risk brokers. They, there's a little bit of a, I guess you could call it a disincentive to really explain that, you know, what you just described fully to the investor, because with their eyes wide open, they might question some of the advice.
Sure. I mean, advisors know that people are more apt to buy their products when they're optimistic and think markets are going to do well. I often tell people that sometimes I think many investment advisors take the place of stock market cheerleaders.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I think that there's definitely room for that comment. Well, David, let's get into a little bit about taxes. And again, it's something that we need to think about all year long, not just at tax time. And I know that you have a couple things in particular where we need to be sensitive to the tax consequences. And I'll just go through a list of some of the ones I know that you've looked at, and also some I wanted to ask you about myself. How about for the person buying a new home? What are some of the tax consequences there?
Well, if someone is buying a new home and paying cash, then there's not a lot of tax benefit that they can get other than the ability to deduct their property tax. In the case of majority of Americans who are going to be financing their homes, then obviously any mortgage interest that they pay up to $1 million to acquire a new home is indeed tax deductible, as you know, as an itemized deduction.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Very good. And so is there anything in special in particular to pay attention to with regard to that, like with, say, points or just with, you know, the type of mortgage, or is it just in general just to be aware of the deductibility as they consider the purchase?
Well, in general, one of the things that you want to be careful of is you want to make sure, if you can, that you bring a large enough down payment so that you do not have to pay private mortgage insurance.
Mm, yeah, good point.
Because that's just a pure expense. And of course, today, many banks require 25 or 30% down so that you do not have to pay the PMI.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big factor. Points, it's easy to calculate. You know, a point is 1% of the mortgage. And so if you're refinancing, let's say, and you're reducing your rate by 0.5%, and you pay 1 point up front for that, then you have to be in the home at least 2 years before you get that point back. So for most people, paying points is probably a good thing, especially because interest rates are at a record low right now, and they're probably not going to be refinancing. It was a problem years ago because people would pay 2-3 points up front to get the rate down, and then a year later they'd be refinancing. In essence, they wasted their money with the points.
With what you just said, which is an excellent point on points, that you are you're going to probably, with the rate cycle we're in, we're not going to see these low rates for a very long, long time, and so because of that, paying a couple of points up front, point or two or whatever it is, to get knocked down that rate even further really can pay off for you in the long run.
That's correct. Yeah. People now are going to be staying these mortgages longer, most likely until they either pay it off or sell the home.
Good point. If you're just joining us, David Scranton is my guest. He's founder of Advisors Academy. And the book, Financial Insanity, How to Keep Wall Street's Cancer from Spreading to Your Portfolio. I got to admire you, David. That's a nice, powerful title for a book. I've written a couple books myself, and mine are not as daring as yours in the title. I like that. So let's talk about a couple of others. How about, which of course a lot of families are excited to welcome a baby to their family, tax considerations there?
Okay. In that particular situation, I mean, obviously the biggest thing is that now you have one additional exemption that you can claim.
Yay.
Right, one more personal exemption. Of course, I'm sure the formula and diaper bills will exceed the tax break from that exemption, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest benefits long term as a financial advisor that I tell people is that if they want to start saving as soon as they can for college, for example, for that baby, you know, 529 college tuition plans are phenomenal, because any growth on your money that occurs within one of those plans, if indeed used for higher education, that growth is tax-free. So when people come to me when their child's 15 and want to save for college education, well, heck, they're probably not going to get a lot of growth over that three-year period between age 15 and 18. But if you start when the child's young, that's a huge benefit.
Tax-free. You can't beat tax-free. I mean, that's
correct.
Pretty much the best. And just for, if somebody's curious, you mentioned the personal exemption for the child, $3,950 for 2014 is the exemption amount. A lot of things that people don't always think about, David, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And also that's related to sending a child to college, that those are things to keep in mind. Let's do this, David. I'm going to grab a quick break. We'll come right back. David Scranton's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. The book is Financial Insanity, How to Keep Wall Street's Cancer from Spreading to Your Portfolio. Right back after this quick break.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit PlanStronger.com.
And we are back with David Scranton, and he is our guest today, founder of the Advisory Academy, and the book is Financial Insanity, How to Keep Wall Street's Cancer from Spreading to Your Portfolio. Talking about some of the taxes that are sometimes people don't think about, some of the tax considerations. Another one that I know you are very tuned into, David, taxpayers that folks that are approaching, they're younger than 59 and a half, and they need to be careful of taxes when it comes to accessing their retirement fund. So let's talk a little bit about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, being able to put money into retirement plans such as 401ks or 403bs or 457 deferred comp plans is a great tax benefit because it comes right off the top of your income. If someone makes $100,000 a year and they're putting $10,000 each year into such a plan, they're only paying taxes on the remaining $90,000, as you well know. That's a huge tax benefit. The problem, however, is that any money that gets withdrawn from such a plan, typically before age 59 and a half, is fully taxable and also has a 10% IRS penalty attached to it.
Yeah.
Right? And so what do you do in that case? Well, I tell people there has to be a balance between their what we call qualified money, which is 401ks and 403bs and IRAs and so on, and non-qualified money, which is everything else, everything that you didn't get a tax break on when you initially deposited it. And you have to have somewhat of a balance because those types of retirement plans I've mentioned, what we call that financial advisors call qualified money, they work great for retirement income once someone is fully retired. In fact, if someone's retired, they can actually take money from those things, penalty-free, even before age 59 and a half. Now, they still have to pay the taxes on it, but it can come out penalty-free before that age if it's for retirement income. But what if it's to buy a car, or what if it's to loan money to a son or daughter, or pay for college? Well, then it's fully taxable along with the penalty, which often means that half of that money will go to the government, and there's only about half left over. That's why it's important to have a balance between those types of plans and other investments that are more liquid, that are not what we call tax qualified.
Yeah, very good. Well, yeah, and I think a lot of times people, you know, again, this is going back to the drumbeat and that what financial advisors will say, you know, put away every nickel you can into your retirement account at work and you know, we've got to max that out. And that's, you know, obviously there's obvious tax benefits to doing that, but it leaves you in a position of not being able to address some of these other things you mentioned, David, and also for emergencies, not having enough resources to be able to get to that money. You know, just so many different things can happen. And so I think you're spot on that there needs to be a balance of having money you've already paid tax on, money you haven't paid tax on, maybe some Roth money in there. The 529s, of course, are also part of the picture for the college funding. So having the mix, I've seen it at least, you know, in my own personal financial planning practice, I've seen that kind of strategy work very well for people.
Even for a retiree, I have a client just very recently that has close to $2 million almost completely in IRAs. Mm. And they came to me just this past week and said, we want to put a swimming pool in our backyard.
Yeah.
We need at least $50,000. Now they have plenty of money to do it, but what they didn't realize is that they're going to have to withdraw close to $80,000 to get that $50,000. And that's painful.
That's very painful, and it's not a fun surprise. And you know, related to that, one of the things that I have done, and I'm sure you've done this or you're aware of this strategy, David, is, you know, is looking at your tax brackets and, you know, deciding what your threshold for pain is or what your expectations are for future taxes. And that's, somebody has to have their own thoughts about that, but or get advice about it. But, you know, going ahead and pay, you know, especially for people that are they're at the 70 and a half age of taking the required distributions, is to go ahead and take more than you really have to just to go ahead and expose it to taxes, especially if you're heavy on qualified assets without much in cash money laying around. Go ahead and expose it to some taxation and get it out of there so that you have something like that, you know, that's over to the side in case something like that comes up.
Sure, a lot of people age 70 and a half today say, gosh, you know, my children are making far more money than I ever did, which means they're probably in a higher tax bracket,
yeah.
In which case, if some of this money is going to go to those children eventually anyway, it makes sense for mom and dad to withdraw it now at a lower tax rate and put it aside, and ultimately, as far as the family's concerned, it does save tax dollars.
It does. It's a little bit counterintuitive for folks, as I'm sure you have seen, David, that they're like, wait a minute, you want me to pay more taxes? Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to say. And I'm going to have my my associate that helps me do tax returns in my office. I'm going to have him meet with you to go over the actual tax bill. I'm not going to be there for that meeting, but it is important that, that was in all seriousness, that we go ahead and expose, especially for some people, David, that are more, let me see, more aware and maybe have a stronger opinion about what future taxes will be. You know, if, for example, somebody can take some more money out of their IRA and pay 25% bracket, that may seem like a lot, but that may be cheap compared to what tax rates are in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if it's in a lower bracket, such as 15 or even 25%.
I tell people, I'm comfortable real quick. You're being exposed to 25% bracket to get that out of there, especially if they have large IRAs. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
And a great trick that a lot of people don't know is that if they've got an IRA, a 401k that's got some after-tax money in it where they've done some contributions pre-tax and some after-tax, if they do decide to roll that 401k over to an IRA, they can actually take that after-tax money out and put it in a Roth IRA where it can grow tax-free for the rest of their lives with no required minimum distributions.
That's excellent advice, David. And just for clarity, so somebody has put money in, you know, some of it went in after taxes. They didn't get the deduction on that contribution to the 401k for that portion.
Correct.
When they roll it out and it goes, they need to come straight from the 401k to them, and then the other portion goes to the IRA?
You definitely want it to go straight from the 401k,
okay,
where two checks get cut. One goes Roth IRA and one goes to the regular traditional rollover IRA.
Excellent. And what have you run into this where somebody's already got an IRA and it's and maybe they had a string of IRAs that they've had this after-tax money in there? Is there a cure for getting it out of there and not having to do this piecemeal recognition of part of the money you take from your IRA every year is not taxed? Is there a way just to take the whole part that's already been taxed out?
In the case of an IRA, no. They're going to take it out completely on a prorated basis.
Yeah, that's a big nuisance.
Yeah, no, people have 401ks where they've actually had after-tax contributions that date back pre-1987, then they can just take that after-tax money out and leave the rest. But with IRAs, it's got to be prorated. However, I will tell you that a lot of people, if they look at, let's say they have a $100,000 IRA and, you know, the contribution part is $50,000 and the growth is $50,000, they may decide to roll the whole thing to a Roth IRA. They only have to pay tax on the $50,000 that represents the growth side. And now they've got $100,000 sitting in a Roth IRA with no future tax liability.
I like that. That's real smart. Good point. The form, if somebody's curious, you know, there's a form involved here, David, as you know, that if somebody's got an IRA and it has some after-tax contributions in it, and you want to make sure that when it comes time to draw money out of it, the proper 1099s are going to be done, that, and you don't have to pay tax on something you've already paid tax on. The form is 8606. That they need to be and supposed to file it ongoing. So if you haven't done that, consult with your tax preparer to make sure you're doing that if you think you've got some after-tax money in there. Very good, David. Good discussion. Let's do this. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come right back. David Scranton is our guest. He's an author of the book, Financial Insanity, How to Keep Wall Street's Cancer from Spreading to Your Portfolio. And we'll take this short break and be right back.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back. David Scranton's on the line with me, and we're talking about several things tax-wise and also some just some good smart tips. And David's book is Financial Insanity, How to Keep Wall Street's Cancer from Spreading to Your Portfolio. And, of course, a lot of good tips in there as well, some real down-to-earth message and advice to take advantage of. Good conversation, David. We've got just a couple minutes here. I wanted to see if we can squeeze in a couple of other ones that are big ones from a tax standpoint. Talk to me a little bit about pensions, tax considerations there, maybe the impact and the taxation and how that affects the rest of what somebody's doing.
Yes. Unfortunately, any pension income that comes in is 100% taxable as ordinary income.
Yep.
Some pensions, although fewer and fewer these days, have a lump sum option. So oftentimes that gives somebody an opportunity where if they don't need quite that much income, they can actually take that lump sum, roll it over to an IRA, and then only have to pay ordinary income taxes on the income which they actually need and take.
Yeah.
The problem with the pension income, of course, is that when you're doing your tax return, your pension income obviously is something that once you turn the faucet on, it cannot be turned off, so that's going to be taxable every single year. And we add that to interest and dividends, and then you add that to required minimum distributions, it's quite common that a good portion of people's Social Security is then taxed.
Yeah, that's not pleasant at all.
Correct.
I hear about that one. People do not like that. It's like, wait a minute. And, you know, a lot of times people get twisted up with the whole loss of Social Security benefits versus taxation. You know, if somebody takes it before their normal retirement age, they can lose Social Security benefits if they're drawing a wage in excess of, I think this year it's, what, $15,480. And so then they think, okay, well, I'm not doing that. I don't have wage income. I just have regular income, the pension income you mentioned and these other sources of income. Why am I paying taxes on Social Security? And
right,
that's the deal.
And that's one of those areas where even tax-free municipal bond interest does not help you because the IRS has a special calculation they call provisional income, whereby they take your total income and they add on the tax-free municipal bond interest and then add to that a portion of your Social Security. And that number doesn't have to get very high depending upon whether you're single or married. It could be $32,000, and anything above that with that total causes your Social Security to begin to be taxable.
Yeah, that's not pleasant. It's $25,000 single, $32,000 married couple, and it's 50% of Social Security up to a certain level, and then once you get above a little bit higher, then it's as much as 85% is taxable. So I think the key point, which I'm sure David would share, is that be careful with that. You've got to plan it and pay attention to it.
That's correct. And that's a big question also as to when to take Social Security. You know, especially if there are two spouses involved, there are over 500 different ways that you could take Social Security benefits.
Well, David, we'll have to cover that one in another show.
it's a whole science in and of itself, but that's the tax, your tax bracket also affects that decision.
Absolutely. David Scranton's been our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. The book is Financial Insanity, How to Keep Wall Street's Cancer from Spreading to Your Portfolio. David, thank you for coming on, and we'll have you come back to talk about that Social Security question.
Great. Sounds great, David. Thank you so much. It's great being here.
My pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.